Matt, you did have a funny joke about the Patriots Super Bowl victory made white America so happy that they digitally altered the Dr. Dre's kid into a white guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can finally watch this show. Wait, I wasn't going to watch it, but now I can watch it.
The protagonist of the new 24 is Dr. Dre from Straight Outta Compton?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's his son, yeah. Right? Oh, okay. That's his actual son.
No, I know that the guy that played Ice Cube was his son.
Oh, so it isn't.
I don't know if that's Dr. Dre's
son. See, I didn't see that movie. I didn't see that movie, even though it has my boy Giamatti in it.
It was good.
It was good. Yeah, it was long, but it was good.
It was his role.
What was
Giamatti's character called in the credits? A scheming Jew?
What's that? Yeah. Jerry Heller.
I know, but I mean, did he ever like do the hand?
That's a pretty scheming pretty Jew much. Name.
Yeah, Jerry Heller. Like, yeah. Did he do the hand gesture?
Well, famously on
you know who I saw today? Who I had lunch with today?
Who?
Ben Fogel.
Who's that? Jared Fogel's brother?
I thought she was.
No, but remember you met him? He's also South African.
Oh, that
and you
guy.
Tested.
Yeah. I'll meet the South African. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You tested out your accent on him for like approval.
Yeah, well, I lived there when I was a kid.
I know, but I thought it was funny that you were like, please validate my childhood accent.
I'm really obnoxious whenever I meet another South African, especially a South African Jew.
Yeah.
You just watch Lethal Weapon and you've got the lighters going on.
Lethal Weapon 2.
I know.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon 2. I totally forgot. I just
look at the room.
Diplomatic community. That's why I learned my South African accent.
It's a really difficult accent.
It's one of the hardest ones. You can't do it.
A lot of pure vowels.
It's like you try to start with New Zealand and then you pretend you had a stroke.
I like the Leo's version of it in the Blood Diamond.
Blang, it's not the bing bing, it's the blang blang.
Blang blang. Yeah. In America, it's bling bling. In Africa, it's bang bang. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
so.
His is much softer, though. He has actually a very pleasant South African accent.
Leo?
It can be kind of. No. Ben's.
Yeah, Dr. Dre's Ben, yeah. Not actually Dr. Dre's
not
son.
Not Dr. Dre's son. Right, okay.
You thought they were all their kids, including Eazy-E's out-of-pocket kid. They did like a mass DNAing of like bastard kids in Southern Los Angeles
was,
to find Eazy-E's kid.
NWA, the next generation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the M and Muppet stands for.
I'm just trying to find these fucking dumbass articles again.
I did. I watched Being There also.
Oh, this is
this
more,
week.
More part of your homework? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well, not part of my homework. That was just something I did this week. Yeah. All right. I mean, I used to say it was the Bush movie, but now it's the Trump movie, right? Is that what everyone's saying?
Yeah. Like just a mentally handicapped person blundering around and people ascribing meaning to his meaningless gibberish.
Exactly.
I think it is more appropriate for Trump because all of Bush's non-extemporaneous talk, that was always, you know, well-crafted stuff from GOP think tanks like the
that he fucked up terribly.
The heart of establishment conservatism. Trump is literally just rambling gibberish.
Yeah.
Like he had the thing today where he said
with Bush, it was like a game of telephone that he wasn't very good at. But the actual information.
Yes, he was like a transmitter for a coherent thing. He is just gibberish. It's like a computer that's winding down. I mean, did you see today where he's in front of the troops or something and he's going. It's like I understand things. I'm one of the best people in the world at processing information and understanding things. I mean,
oh yes, please.
Like, it's like he spent 10 minutes defending his ability to think, which you should probably not have to do as president.
Yeah, that's protesting a little too
it's
much.
It's protesting way too much.
I'm smart.
Yeah, that's the Fredo thing. I'm smart, like they say.
Wait a second.
Oh, my God.
Oh, too many people.
He's
Fredo as hell.
Get down over here.
Didn't it recently come out that the whole narrative about Cheney being, like, the evil emperor and stuff is, like, sort of bullshit, and that Bush was kind of thought he was the decider and wasn't listening to Scowcroft and fucking
probably way
Jim
more
Baker
so in the second
shit.
Bush administration. But
really?
I think Cheney was pretty much in the driver's
seat.
Yeah,
the second term, I think it's
in the first one?
In the first term, he was because, you know, Bush kind of was way over his head
But I do think we're slightly comforted by that narrative that we're like, oh, this flailing idiot couldn't be in charge for real. It yeah. has to be like,
well, we're
the,
doing it now
evil.
With Bannon.
Yeah, with the, yeah. Are we projecting
yeah,
all the
like,
same
well,
thing
the
on
real?
Bannon?
And it's like, yeah. what? How is that better?
Yeah, it really like, is because it doesn't matter in any
no, it doesn't sense. Matter.
I mean, but the thing is that yeah, Cheney got I mean, sort of pushed out in the second term. Because I think his ego got bruised. Like, I'm the president here, which is a process that I think is happening with Trump, but like on a super fast time scale.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I think in 2 weeks, if he sees one more headline of Bannon being the brains, he's like, he's out of here. No,
it's a good attack.
I'm the one. I'm the president.
I mean, like, look at the two personalities between Trump and Bannon. You can't have two obese rich guys occupy the same space. Like, it sounds like I'm joking, but it's serious. Like, they are going to fall out.
They just come in the
over
room bringing in bigger and bigger cigars.
Yeah,
every meeting, by the end of it, they're just like holding like a fucking like, you know, Yugo-sized cigar. And it's just like this extended phallic symbol.
They're just they're making uninterrupted eye contact across the room, shitting while eating party subs.
Yeah. No, I absolutely, yeah. I totally believe that they're going to butt heads sooner, if not later.
It's a good line of attack because it like goes against Trump's ego, right?
That, yeah, like, well, that's the thing. Like, this is a deal where traditionally you would say it doesn't matter. You have centers of power and where ideology is flowing from. But we really are in a new era. And one of the things about it is that there is no guiding ideology or interest group
yeah.
that has like a pervading power. It is one man's misfiring, dying brain.
Yeah. and he's easily shook.
Yeah. Oh God, so rattled.
I don't think it will actually benefit us in any way.
No, no, we're doomed no matter what.
Yeah.
It'll be entertaining.
It is fun, and also it will destabilize them a little bit. You know, he can't keep a solid collection of people around him. It's worth trolling him.
I mean, yeah, he's... It's like this is the only politician where mean tweets actually do
yeah,
affect him.
This is and the first trollable president.
And did look, you I see mean, that state
because
senator
he is a troll
today?
And he is yeah, the, mad online.
It's true.
The state senator who is like, listen, you epic cock monkey shit fucker. He like did a bunch of Reddit insults. But I was going to go back a little bit. I mean, look at the process of how he does things. In the previous administration on this time, when we were conducting operations in Yemen, it would be Obama with like Susan Rice and people who are also pieces of shit. But there would be like this process to evaluate like, you know, which 16-year-old are we going to fucking blow up? But with Trump, he's like eating McDonald's with Jared and some other fucking shithead.
Watching like, the TV is on full blast. Yeah. I can't even talk
he's
over
with,
it.
He's watching like fucking, yeah. He's watching
Montel Williams.
He's watching Montel or E with Jared. He's like, you know, I tried to fuck Judy fucking whatever from Entourage, but she wasn't going, you know? Okay. I tried to buy an ottoman with her. But, you know, sometimes you just can't let him open up. And Jared is just accidentally spilling salt everywhere. And this is the circumstance in which they're like, yeah, let's send in 50 Navy SEALs into a compound. And they ended up getting like 30 yeah. fucking people killed.
Yeah, and they got 10-year-old documents and they're absolutely worthless.
Yeah, that little girl was really cute.
Trying to kill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way to pick like just like the absolute worst little girl to kill.
The worst.
I mean, they could have picked a far less cute little girl to murder.
But because of how fucked up that operation was, like Yemen has withdrawn permission for us to operate counterterror ops in there. Like, we're still going to run black ops, but the cost and difficulty of the missions are going to get much worse. Much more people are going to get killed, which makes those Navy SEALs who are running that Trump flag on their fighting vehicle hilarious. Yeah, get us killed.
He's going to order them into the mouth of a active volcano, and they're like, God bless you, sir.
Yeah. All right, your commander for this mission is Jared Kushner. And signed a Starfleet commander? Okay, so you're going to want to press Y to enter the vehicle. Press down on the D-pad to switch between Franklin and Michael. Hit both sticks for your slow-mo ability.
I mean, I do think it's pretty adorable that, you know, the four martyrs of Benghazi occupied this huge psychic space on the right for four years, and this Navy SEAL who got killed basically because Obama like thought or Trump thought he was like doing a Splinter Cell run and it was real. that that's like fine. It's like that's sacrifice we're willing to make.
It's fine because I'll tell you why it's fine. It's because they're on the offense, goddammit. They're not playing defense anymore and just dying because of easy errors.
Like in the movies.
Yeah.
Like, that's true. Yeah, that is offense and it wasn't defense. That is a distinction.
We're on the march.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that there is something sort of, I don't want to say it's like, you know, encouraging, but even like right wingers, they don't like the idea of drone warfare. They at least want it to look like a movie.
Yeah.
Like, because they're like, this is boring video game nerd shit.
It's war for nerds.
Yeah.
It's about stats. And it's not about your gut.
Yeah.
It's not about instinct. I suppose I should officially start the show at this point.
Hey.
This is freeform cold open.
Yeah, classic.
Exactly.
That's how we do it.
We're keeping it loose this episode because our guest, Adam Friedland of Cumtown.
What's up?
Number one cum boy, Adam Friedland.
Dicks out for Harambe. Thanks for having me.
Brendan Wardell, everybody. Brendan Wardell.
We love you. Everyone, we know that Brendan Wardell was your favorite episode, and we're trying to recreate that energy here.
Yeah, it feels so good to walk on, in the footsteps of giants. Like, would you have Tim Heidecker this week?
Yep.
And Jeremy Scahill and Wardell. And like all it feels so, you know, these are the, you know, the minds of contemporary society. And, you know, I am definitely one of them. I'm definitely, you know.
It's been a long time coming.
Really smart cum boy.
So you're the one who puts the own in Cumtown.
This is your opportunity to show that you're not just a pretty cum face.
Oh, God. Yeah. It's fake though, because like my whole brand is that I'm smart, but I'm actually really stupid. I'm good at like convincing someone on the bus that I'm smart, but I'm not good at like actually maintaining intelligence.
That's
like,
the Costanza.
Nick and Stav's whole brand is that they're dumb, but they're actually very smart guys. So I think that's sort of the dynamic between
Adam,
us.
I realized this yesterday though, like, Cumtown is more of a product of Red Diaper Babies than Chapo.
Yeah, kind of.
What is that, Red Diaper Baby?
It means you come from like radicals or leftists or whatever. But like, so your parents opposed apartheid. They kind of suck now, but
they're MSNBC now.
Yeah, but they were.
My dad yelled at me yesterday.
And then Stav's grandmother literally had to like run out of Greece because she's a communist and they dropped a dime on her. But luckily, apparently they only sent like the worst Nazis to Greece and they were really bad at genociding people.
Wait, Adam, what did your dad get mad at you about the other day?
I told him that I'm doing this like my friend's big podcast. It's a politics podcast. And so then he called me up really pissed off last night and he's like, There are two things that we should be focusing for the resistance. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
Oh God.
I was like, oh
so
God.
Wait a minute, your dad went what from Joe Slovo to Keith Olbermann, basically.
Yeah. He's fucking Morning Joe right now. We elected a guy that shouts at the television. Like I wouldn't want my father to be the president. That's good. He's pretty much the same as that, but he believes that he wants us to get the tax returns, which Trump has said, I won. You're not going to get the tax returns.
That's the nerdiest ass
thing. You're not
required
to give out the tax returns.
And then to get the information on how Russia hacked the election, because that will, then they could get rid of Trump. So, Dad, I said it. I said your thing, but... And then I was like, you can't do my homework. I'm fucking 30 years old. You're still trying to write my college essays right now? This is ridiculous.
This guy's like a Philip Roth novel.
I'd like to dedicate this gym to Adam's father.
Yes, shout out.
Chapo fans, got to get the tax returns. Got to get those Russian
guys.
Yeah,
get it out there.
Spread it. Tweet about it. RT. Make it happen. Call your congressman.
We
call your senator.
We
got
to say yes to Comrade Putin and his
schemes.
I
just like that this is someone who at one point like opposed apartheid when it was dangerous and now he wears a Speedo to the beach and yells about Hillary Clinton.
But then he's like really mad at Bernie still. Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. He can't watch Curb because it's like watching himself. So it just makes it, he shouts at the television.
And then he yells about tax returns.
Get your life together, man. Get your life together. You're a mess.
So that's out of, so, and then you said Stav's mom had to flee Greece because she was a red?
Grandmother. She was a red. And like apparently someone ratted her out and she had to go to Bulgaria or some shit. Someplace worse than Greece.
Okay.
And he said the only saving grace is that apparently the Nazis they deployed to Greece were like the fail Nazis, and they were not good at tracking people down.
And Nick's dad was actually Nicolae Ceaușescu.
It's true. In Romania. Yeah.
Adam, I'm actually, you are considered the smart one on Come Down Erroneously.
It's true.
I'm actually the dumbest member of Chapo.
We know.
Yeah. I know. I've read 3 books. I count Dune as 2 of them.
That's fair.
And I'm responsible. I'm responsible for Adam getting roasted about something because
what was
after the Chapo election night show when everyone was when we were wandering, I had like $600 from the bar. I was just wandering the street. I was going into CVS to buy like protein powder because I was like, there has to be a bright spot. I at least can have whey protein with the creatine mixed in when I wake up tomorrow. But Adam was like, what do we do now? And not even thinking, because like I had forgotten how shitty she was, like her BJP connection. BJP connection.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess they could run fucking Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, you said Gabbard or Keith Ellison. Or Keith, so you were half.
Keith, I was right about one. But yeah, yeah. I wasn't even like thinking. And Adam like, who didn't listen to Chapo closely enough and didn't realize that outside of like maybe 2 subjects, I don't know anything. And like most of my contributions are just one-liners that are good but get us yelled at all the time. He was like, yeah, no, I could trust Felix. And then the entire podcast roasted him because Tulsi did Tulsi.
Well, the episode, our episode after the election was like, I think maybe one of our most popular ones, although it's like the most off brand. Like, we're not doing any.
It was very moving.
Racial stereotypes. We're not doing any. I think actually I shit on Israel a little bit at the end, but
self-hating Jew is a stereotype.
I have this mark of shame that I'm so ashamed that I advocated for this modiest fucking bloodthirsty like psycho. She's hot though. She's honestly brought her up because I was like, you know, I still would though. But whatever, dude. That was the only bad part of the whole thing. I've ruined other Come Town episodes much worse. So. I'll take that one. But that night was so funny because I went to the Chapo thing. I remember one of my clearest memories of election night was we're at the bar and Will just ate a weed lollipop and I was like super high and in shock, you know, everyone's in shock, and I look over at Will and just everyone in the bar is like on the verge of tears, and he's like, this is like that picture of France the day after the Nazis took over, and all the French people's faces are just like, what the fuck is going on? That's literally how everyone in that Brooklyn bar looked.
That's the famous shot of that one guy. Just, that's what that bar
that's
felt like.
Cover,
hell yeah.
That's good thing I was
smoking weed.
I drank like a ton of beers. I was totally fine.
Oh, yeah. You shouted at... You were screaming, cum eater. You were screaming, cum eater, and almost
Podesta.
Falling over.
Wait a minute, what?
The stumble.
Limping
drunk that you are.
Podesta goes up, and he's like, because Hillary's too much of a coward to face her donors. Podesta goes up, and he's like, it's still very close. They're still counting. Everyone go home. Please go home. Please. Yeah. She's fucking tearing the green room apart. Please go home.
And you were like... You come in and child fucker.
Matt, what
did that?
You did that.
The thing was, I was like, shit, we're going to get kicked out of the bar. But the bartenders just kind of looked at him and were like, you know what? We're all having a bad day.
Yeah.
Matt, I honestly don't remember.
You didn't just say that. When we all took a cab home, we take a cab home at like fucking 4:30.
And you were in the front next to the poor, terrified cab driver.
And I was like, I was using my spectrum ability. I was the least distraught, not because I didn't think it was
awful.
No, but you got that. You got that autist focus, which was very helpful in Stabilizer.
Yeah, a combination of autism and my talent as an athlete, which is absurd confidence in the face of that, you know, I always think I'm going
to
win.
Yeah, Matt and I decided it was the end of the world and we were going to party.
Yeah,
joyfully.
So I was in the car and I was like, "Hey guys, why don't we get sandwiches? That'll cheer everybody up." And so I was ordering the sandwiches.
You like Marge Simpsoning us?
I am. Yeah, and I was like, "So how about a club sandwich? How about that? Yeah, this place is good." And Matt, like, there's just stony silence, so I just order for everyone. And then after five more minutes of silence, when we finally get to our block, Matt just yells, "This is like a fucking Grimace was president."
Yo, also, when that same conversation where you said Tulsi Gabbard, yo, she's the troops, she's pretty hot. That same conversation, there's this black dude out on the block, like, comes up to us, and he's like, "Hey, my man, can I get some money?" And you're like, you had all that fucking genius, like, live show money. Yeah, yeah. So you handed him, like, $40.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, man, thanks." And then he daps up the bouncer at the bar we were at. And they're like, "Oh, are you on this shift?" He's like, nah, I'm not working tonight. He's like, he wasn't homeless. He was just some dude that worked at the bar.
Yeah, that guy
that we
rules,
thought was handling.
I'm not even mad at that. That's a great move.
That guy was, like, yeah.
As somebody who used to work at a bar.
I'm learning a lot tonight.
Dude, as somebody who
white people felt so bad. That
you were like stumbling.
Yeah, you were blacked out, dude.
Yeah.
As somebody who used to work at a bar, I wish that some moron from a podcast who made an undeservedly high income came in and thought I was homeless and, you know.
Yeah, selling like PBR and t-shirts.
Yeah.
To an event that really went south.
Dude, that night was that was so funny. Yeah, I can't believe he was the president.
I still sometimes I'm like, LOL. Oh yeah.
LOL, dude. He's like so polluted. I mean, like, Twitter is now all about Trump, and like, he's so polluted my subconscious. Like, he's just part of me. I have dreams about him now. I literally
There's an article about that Catherine Liu wrote, because all of these people were having dreams about Donald Trump.
I have dreams it's about like him Cthulhu. Like once a week. Yeah.
Well, and she's like a Marxist Freudian, and she's like, "This is a manifestation of your anxiety. He has come to represent every threat."
Well, exactly, because
or something like that. I kind of skipped it was a little
he
smart.
Is the rough beast slouching towards Bethlehem. He is an apocalyptic figure in some sense, maybe not like apocalypse, but like he is a new era has dawned with his emergence. Like, there, you can't.
He's a fat diapered horseman. Country.
Yeah, he's a fat diapered orange horseman. We cannot. So, like, that kind of trauma of, like, seeing history get broken in front of you, like seeing a tear in reality as you understood it just open up in front of you, that's going to create some serious psychic trauma that is then going to be expressed through just this constant. Like
it's like suddenly learning. It's like suddenly learning
so intense that you won't remember it, and it'll be described to you months later on a podcast.
I remember when we got back, because I got back to my place after that. I remember throwing that sandwich we got in the garbage when I got out of the cab.
Dunking.
I'm sorry, but I like brought it with me, and I had it in the car, and I had a conversation with my driver. We were like, "Can you fucking believe this?" And I'm like, "No, dude, I can't fucking believe this." And I got out of the thing, and I'm like walking towards. I'm like, "I can't eat this," and I just fucking threw it in a pile of trash.
Well, that's
I'm sorry, but I don't remember this thing at the end of the.
Oh my god, I remember like you kind of like leaning against a tree, but the tree was more of a sapling. So like you, well, I'm like, he's gonna fall in the mulch. Let's stand over here. So you put your arm around me, and I remember thinking, I am actually not physically big enough to hold him up. Like if he takes a hard fall, and then I think Nick intervened and like picked up the other side, and we sort of.
Fuck,
I would have carried you like in an officer and a gentleman if you asked.
No, and like in the bodyguard.
Yeah.
Because he's the troubled artist.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, yeah, I was thinking
not anyone. I don't work at a fucking factory. That's for sure.
No.
The next day after that, like I did the nostalgia trap with David Parsons. Shoutouts out to David Parsons. And my cab driver. This is a very Thomas Friedman moment. My cab driver.
But are like
they really is
to him,
yeah.
It's you have really wonderful conversations with cab drivers,
dude. The last cab driver that took me to LaGuardia was a Lebanese Shia, and we talked about how
Saad Hariri is actually the late King Abdullah's cuck baby. But anyway.
Oh, that is funny.
What? What?
I wanted... Nobody cares about these characters from the Phantom Pain.
We haven't all read Dune. I have one thing that I know about, and you're going to let me talk about it. But no. So this guy was a ethnic Russian from Ukraine, and...
He smashed a risk board?
He's an ally to me. But he was like, you know, yeah, Trump's kind of a shithead, but Hillary was going to give weapons to all these banderists. And it was like kind of interesting. It was kind of interesting to hear that perspective on it. But then also, what
is the point of this story?
I don't know.
You didn't even
The point
smoke
is
it.
That
you have no excuse.
Two countries with McDonald's.
Cut his mic off.
Two countries with McDonald's have never gone to war with each other. That's the point.
Actually, that rule
That's
was broken
the point.
In 2008. The Georgian-Russian War.
Yeah.
Both have fucking McDonald's. So retire, bitch. Tom Friedman,
suck on
retire,
that,
bitch.
Tom.
You can blame Perestroika for that.
There's another Tom Friedman who's an artist who a friend of a friend was an artist assistant for. And I was like, I was at a wedding. I was drunk. And I was like, can you explain like what the other Tom Friedman's art is like? He's like, yeah, he's like a... one of his pieces is like really powerful. It's like a bar of soap, and he like takes his pubes and he makes concentric circles on the bar of soap. It's really powerful. And I was like, I think he's the better Thomas Friedman. I do think that rules.
That's valuable.
That's actually the title of Friedman's next book, Pube Dove.
Pube Soap.
How the eradication of crabs are all reinventing globalization.
There was one thing I did, because I can't talk about this on Come Town. And, you know, you guys are my boys I could be a little bit more emotional with.
I'm not a boy.
You're my boy, though. You know.
All right, fine.
But you guys do know that I was like an indoctrinated Zionist youth, right? You do know that
I lived in.
I have to go.
You're a foreign middle class.
Cut Felix's mic off right now.
I did a gap year before college in Israel, as you know, it was my Zionist calling and. You know, I do think that this would be probably a good platform for me to talk shit on that experience.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Lay it on the line, dude. What was it like?
By the way, we don't expect a 17-year-old from your context to necessarily have the best politics on Israel.
Yeah, well,
you were 17.
I turned 19. There, it was like okay. Would have been my freshman year. So I took classes and then I worked on an ambulance like half the year. But. I remember there was like this, so, you know, I was like pretty fervent Zionist, but like also I like went to Zionist summer camp. But like the reason I sort of thought I think I got into it in retrospect was that I was getting like BJs, hand J's, like from like girls from New Jersey, and no one in my public high school in Las Vegas wanted to like suck my dick. So I was just like, well, that must mean that Israel is like really they have like a right to like build a wall.
Well, like that's the number. That's the theory behind Birthright, right? Like,
get these
horny kids to come here and
seriously,
get laid.
That would work on me. That would work,
dude. 100%. Seriously, yeah. And I got really involved.
Not me, because I had sex, but. I understand, especially
for boys. Well, I had sex.
Boys.
I lost my virginity at Zionist summer camp. Thank you very much.
It was by design.
Yeah.
All by design.
When you're on Birthright and a girl with braces sucks your dick, it's called the Iron Dome.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm sorry. I'm looking at this pube soap. It's actually very cool.
It is powerful. Yeah, I looked it up too.
Clearly, degenerate art.
Yeah,
Tom Friedman.
Tom
Friedman.
Yeah. He's the better Tom Friedman.
This is clearly the superior.
Check that shit out.
That's a very placid image.
Yeah, it's better than every page he's ever written.
So it's not sports.
So they sent us. So like the summer before I went to Israel, they sent us to like we did like a Jewish leadership program. And they sent us to Capitol Hill to teach us how to lobby our members of Congress.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
By the way, Adam, I hope none of the Come Town fans listen to this episode.
Well, I don't know. I brought this up at the last Funny Moms, but it was fun. I mean, whatever. There's a little overlap, but I'm from Nevada, so they set everyone up with our Congress people, and fucking Harry Reid agreed to meet with me and my friends Alex and Tommy. in his office. And so they like give us all the talking points. They're like, this is why it's important to build. It's not a wall. It's a security fence. And this is why it's important to protect Israel. No matter what. My name is Adam Friedland. I'm 16 years old. And I'm desperately trying to get this girl, Becky Kaplan, to touch my dick. So yeah, I remember like going to the fucking Senate building because
what was Harry Reid like?
He's tall. He's taller than you think. He was a boxer. I think that
we were
song,
just talking about
Simon
Harry
and Garfunkel song was about Harry Reid. Yeah.
He was also the inspiration for the Tommy Smothers character in Casino.
Yes. When I comped you, Mr. State Senator,
you're milling around.
But he was actually the opposite of that character because that character gets bribed a lot, and you know Ace goes off on him. But the real Harry Reid, this undercover informant, tried to bribe him, and Reid just started choking him, and these agents had to run into. The
yeah,
room.
Harry Reid's actually very interesting backstory. Like his mother was like changing sheets in hotels. He like came from nothing. He was born in this like middle of nowhere, like from a fucking like. Western kind of town
the
called
Mormons, right?
Searchlight. Yeah, Searchlight, Nevada. And he's Mormon, and I think he married a Jewish girl. He made her convert, which my parents not very that's not okay with that.
And her entire bloodline.
Yeah,
of
yeah. But I met with him in his
quick
office.
Sidebar: Warren Zevon, the only other half Jew, half Mormon.
No, that's
clearly
not true. I'm about to drop some fucking knowledge on you guys. Roseanne Barr. Have to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
It's the journey
and I think,
of two incredibly powerful bloodlines.
I think Chelsea Handler, too.
She's
really?
Is also half Jew, half Mormon. Maybe I'm wrong. Someone look that up.
I mean, Mormons are like...
And
like
Larry King's
weird,
wife
like,
is Mormon.
Roseanne's like a weird like Eurasian Jew, too, because I remember like looking up... Yeah. Oh, Belarusian.
Yeah.
That was it.
I'm a quarter Belarusian, three quarters Lithuanian. All right, that doesn't matter.
That reminds me. You know who else is half Mormon, half Jew? Belladonna.
Oh yeah, the porn star.
Yeah.
Is that
way
true?
More than I would expect.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. Somehow that combo creates some really smart stand-up comedy.
Maybe there's something to that combination.
Yeah, I haven't seen
I
her
stand-up. I
respect
Mormons a lot.
I grew up with a ton of them in Vegas.
They're fucked up and creepy,
but they're also like. They're everything evangelicals pretend to be.
Well, I mean,
evangelicals
yes, they're successful.
Evangelicals are like, I'm successful. My secondhand boating supply business only loses $300,000 a year. I have a great marriage, except for the 20 times a year that I go on a rampage of fellatio and fucking other men and smoking meth. My kids love me the 2 months out of the year that I'm allowed to see them. I'm just a man of God. By the way, I'm also selling male bracelets on Etsy. I needed to raise money. The judge is making me pay for my own breathalyzer on the car. But also, I think I should be able to tell everyone what to do all the fucking time. I'm a pagan fucking idiot. Piece of shit. Go Trump. But anyway, Mormons actually...
That was good.
Speaking of secondhand boating supplies... The other on some episode, I heard you admonish the noble Ski-Doo, which, what? By the way... Those things rule, and I want you to take it back right now.
I don't remember
instead
saying
of you said
bad
that
about
the MAGA chuds were Ski-Doo owners.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Okay,
I'm not taking that back.
This is not really that related, but I just watched that scene in Eastbound and Down,
yes,
where he's at rock bottom and he's on the he's on the Ski-Doo in his jeans. He's wearing jeans on the Ski-Doo and he runs out of,
yeah, my
of
dad
gas.
Used to do that.
He runs
he
out of gas
shorts.
In the middle
used
of the lake.
Stop it.
He just walks up.
He would wear jorts on the Ski-Doo because he didn't have real trunks and his mullet would be waving in the wind.
So the Mormons
and
are...
This was the Ski-Doo he bought with money he probably really should have been playing child support on. But in my opinion, at least I got to enjoy the Ski-Doo, so it could be worse. It could be frittering it all away.
Yeah, Ski-Doo's like... What most evangelicals spend their money on is like, oh, I'm going to build a $50,000 recording studio so I can record my Christian EDM
yes!
track called You Give Me Energy.
It's a blight on nature. They're probably horribly pollutant. They're disgusting. They're so fucking fun. This is the thing that the this is the thing where the maggot chuds are right.
Me and my family took the whole trip on ski-doos around the island of Key West, and it was the best family vacation ever. Love you, mom. Love you, mom and dad. Love you, Lizzie.
But like, okay, so Mormons
are Hemingway used to do that when he was in Key West.
He would hunt sharks on the ski-doo.
Yeah, he'd have three cats on the ski-doo.
And he'd have just a gun that he'd use to shoot sharks from the ski-doo.
Yeah, he'd hold the gun barrel first in his mouth.
But he had a great time.
Yeah, he had a great time.
I mean, yes. Okay, Mormons are more successful.
I'm glad he killed himself, by the way.
Than evangelicals. Their families are more stable. They don't get divorced all the time. You know, they actually are what evangelicals claim to want to be. But they also, when things get a little too much pressure, declare themselves prophets and start polygamous communes in the desert.
Okay. Really? Matthew Chrisman of German heritage. Listen, anyone who comes from Anglo-Saxon or really most types of the, you know, like...
Ooh, don't do it to him.
First of all, Bavarians are POC.
That's right.
That's true. We're the swarthy Catholics of the Prussian Empire.
Most white people, if you go back only three generations, they have at least two family members, two great-great uncles who went insane and thought that they were Christ. So at least when the Mormons do it, they build an entire community about it. Whereas when the regular Protestants do it, they're just an asshole.
It's not a real community, though. It's an AstroTurf community. It's like Disney does community, except like you bash gay people instead of them all working.
Who, the Mormons?
I'm not saying I condone their actions. I respect their initiative.
Yeah, they do love multi-level marketing, and that's the reason, because it's the religion itself is a multi-level marketing
scheme. There's such a genre of ex-Mormonism that they're clearly like
Jack Mormons.
Jack Mormons, yeah.
They're clearly like hemorrhaging people.
They're one of the fastest growing religions in the world. A lot of their
But that doesn't mean they're not hemorrhaging people. It just means they're evangelizing.
That's true. And they're evangelizing in like Africa, which is weird since they didn't think black people were fully human until the fucking 70s.
Yeah, everyone has a pre-woke period,
those are
old tweets. Okay, let me put it this way.
If you ever check out Brigham Young's tweets, problematic.
Yeah. Listen. A lot of people drop out of Mormonism. A lot of people stay in evangelical Christianity. Well, yeah, you know what? It's easy to get a black belt in Taekwondo. It's a little bit harder to get one in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
I actually went to Temple Square.
Me too. I went to a debate tournament in Salt Lake City when I was in high school. When I was not getting any head. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's so creepy because it feels like Disneyland's version of religion.
It's weird. It's weird.
It feels totally ersatz. It feels totally just like fabricated. And because you can't go into the temple unless you're a Mormon.
Right.
You have to have your temple card. But they have this big museum next to it.
Yeah.
And like the big culminating thing is you go up a spiral staircase or style incline like a Guggenheim kind of, and there's a big painting of the night sky, and you get in the middle of it, and it's this big circular room, and all the walls are painted like the stars, and then Earth, and then Kolob, and then a big statue of Christ in the middle of it, and it just feels real fake.
Well, as far as like people that believe that when they die they're going to inherit a planet that they're going to rule over with their 75 kids and their wife, you know, as far as those type of people go, they're chill as fuck. Actually, like in Vegas there were a ton of Mormons.
Expect them to be worse
because Howard Hughes,
Iron Bob Mayhew, yeah.
The Howard Hughes Corporation, when he was like losing his mind, only trusted Mormons. So he only hired Mormons. So there's
that
in
seems
Vegas,
like it could end up like an Altamont situation, though. Like they could that could totally like, backfire.
Well, no, I mean they
were
like the best workers,
insane, and trusted Mormons because they were incredibly, in his view, pure and clean.
Yeah.
How people in the Midwest love to hire the Amish to frame their house.
I used
for
to
like
jack
10
off.
Times the price.
I used to jack off so furiously though to the moms because like they had this like sort of almost repressed, but they were like bursting with this sexual energy. And my friend Brad's mom, I used to fucking just murder my dick whenever I'd come home.
I'll say this.
Out at his house.
I drove through Colorado City, Arizona once, which is one of the big ones, the one Warren Jeffs used to lead.
Oh yeah.
The houses are these giant like improvised buildings with like a bunch of drywalled additions. They're all on a hill of dirt with no grass, and they all have really, really tall walls.
Well, they've been excommunicated, those guys.
But like I saw one of the ladies, and she was there with her little Children of the Corn kids, And she was wearing that outfit that I saw them when they were arraigning the prairie dress and the hair. And it's like, that would kill my boner. And I mean, I would never, I would need like at least 12 wives to make up for those just horrifyingly unappealing fashion choices.
Disagree.
The regular moms would wear like Hollister and stuff and be hot and be all be like 31 years old.
What is
and like?
They just started spawning at like 13.
Blonde. They look like hot high school girls, but they were moms.
To slightly redirect to Adam's teenage horniness, I do want to come back around to your teenage Zionism as a result of being horny. And how it totally 100%. Paid off in getting beeges and hand jobs.
It did pay off, but then I lost it.
So how did you lose it then?
Okay.
You just got started getting laid regularly and you're like, the novelty of that went away. And you were like, holy shit, this is objectifyingly terrifying.
There were two moments. One was at the end of my year in Israel, they had a campus activism seminar, right? And there was this British guy who made Aliyah, who was like one of the leaders of the program.
It was Sam Chris.
sort of. There were my program was half British, half American, and they're all from North London, and they all live in like this like a two block radius. It's like a
shit in Jerusalem, mate.
Yeah. It's
we're
a
building a bloody Tesco next to the temple.
They're all Tories, and they're all fucking like repugnant, and they flat ironed their hair, and they all had Euro mullets, but. these dudes, okay, so anyway, this dude stands up and he's like, next year, you are going to war. You are going to the United States, Canadian, and British college campus. On these college campuses, there is a war between Israel and Palestine that you are going to have to undertake. All right, let's get some ideas. How are we going to make people like Israel? Okay, all right, shoot, here's one idea, all right? When it's Sukkot, you sit in the quad of your college and you make a sukkah and you smoke hookah. You do hookah in the sukkah. And when people ask you what's going on, you say, well, in Israel, it's cool that people smoke hookah. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
The fuck did
they
you
like,
just say?
The Palestinian campus activists are going to spread lies. They're going to say that Israel is killing the Palestinians. They're going to say that Israel is brutal. And they're going to say, and then I was like, yeah, okay, they are. Like, I mean, they're doing all that. And then there was one weekend where they took us to the settlements, and that was when I really lost it.
Talk about insular, weird religious communities. Yeah.
So we went to the settlements, and they were like, you know, you're just there, and it's like all tract housing. It's like, it looks like Vegas. It looks like where I grew up. It's all like fucking like cookie cutter. Like, you know, it looks like a fucking Arrested Development, you know, like it's a track model homes. Yeah. And they're like, yeah, just look down the road. That's like a Palestinian village. And they're like, yeah, you know, we got to protect ourselves. And they had like fucking guards, and they're all fucking like religious psychopaths. And I went there right after the disengagement from Gaza. And they had, you know, the settlers in Gaza, there was like maybe there's so much fewer settlers in Gaza than there are on the West Bank. That was like the first step of Sharon getting woke and being like, well, I'm gonna make everyone leave Gaza, and then next step I'm gonna make everyone leave the West Bank. But then he had a fucking stroke. But the butcher of Sabra and Shatila, by the way. But yeah, and I remember I was in the settlements, and I was like, I feel like I'm in a fucking stolen car right now. And then all of a sudden they were like, you need to get inside. We need to get inside. And we're like, what's going on? And they made us go inside this like fucking rec center they had. And they were like, there's a riot in the village, like the Palestinian village, like right down the road. And we think there's a terrorist loose. And like, we were all like hiding in this fucking rec center. And I remember there's like this like guard they had with us, and he had a fucking gun. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing here right now? I'm fucking 19 years old. Why did my parents agree to do this? I paid for a blowjob from a Russian sex worker that was fucking sex trafficked here with my fucking meal stipend money. And then, forgot the envelope of meal stipend for the month in the strip club, and had to starve for a month where I ate a shawarma every day at 5 p.m. to survive. That's what I did. Anyway,
how was the beach though?
I got a condom, blowjob, from a woman that was had braces and fake breasts. And I remember this was the first time I felt fake boobs. And I was like, this is terrible. These are the hardest.
At 19
heaviest.
Years old, you were picky.
I just remember feeling them. I'm like, this is horrible. And I know my dad, when we're in like supermarkets and stuff or restaurants, he'll like look at a woman with fake breasts and be like, that's nice. And I'm like, well, you've just never felt them. You've never felt them before. Yeah, it was just like wholly inappropriate that I was sent there for a year. And then I left and then I went to college and then I studied Middle Eastern politics. And then they told us about all the shit that we weren't told about, like the Tokhni Dal and the ethnic cleansing and during the 1948 war. And it's just like, okay, I was on a fucking propaganda trip. And yeah, so that's, I mean, I went to college in D.C. because I was like really into politics in high school. And then like within a week of being there, I was just like, you know how when you get to college, there's always that first guy that's like running for something. It's like the floor that the representative for your floor. There's like someone,
the RA or something.
Yeah, well, like the first, he's like, yeah, I'm going to make this semester the best semester ever. Like, my name is Tim, and I'm running for floor representative for the 7th floor. We're going to fucking kill it this year. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you running for? And it's always those guys that are the ones that, like, get internships on the Hill and then go into politics. And they're always the worst fucking people in the world. So I fucking lost Zionism, you know, from going to Israel.
I love those grotesque, like, British Tories who tried to give you, like, their patent speech about going to college, and you surrendered immediately.
Well, I did some, like, spy work for the Palestinian campus activists. Like, I sat in on Hillel.
Double agent.
I sat in on Hillel meetings. And like told them, and then I told the Palestinian kids about like what their plans were to like protest like anti-Israel speakers and stuff. I was like fucking James Bond, dude. Yeah.
Triple parentheses 7.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, the real question is, did that get you laid?
No, I didn't really get laid. I mean, I got laid okay, like I had girlfriends, but then I kind of mostly got laid in the last like 2.5-3 years of my life after I moved here, and it was like weird. I talk about this in stand-up, but like there are enough girls in New York that have seen like Annie Hall that think it's like acceptable to have sex with a disgusting, spindly, Rumpelstiltskin-like Jewish creature. And so then like I moved here and then I was like, girls were having sex with me finally. And it was, I just can't live anywhere else. I have to live here for the rest of my life. I'm fucked because I don't know. But yeah. Yeah. So I got blowjobs in Zionist indoctrination camps. And then I took a break for like 5 years until I was like 27 years old.
The Jewish people, they take something bad with camps and turn it into something great.
It's true. Wow, this
is going
like
from the absolute worst camp in the world to the absolute best.
The blowjob camp.
Camp blowjob. But I did, if it's okay with the rest of the gang, having Adam on. I do want to talk with Adam for the first time on the show because I feel like he's a minor figure in the show mythos that like I don't think we've ever fully explored. But can we talk about my boy Pop?
Oh, can we talk about King Pop? He's out. He's so bored right now. I don't know if you've been following his Snapchat.
He's lost some weight.
We should give a little
he did not do 10 years, obviously.
Yeah.
Adam, could you lay out, like, who is Popcorn and why is he of interest to us?
Well, it's before I knew you, Nick sent me this Instagram of this kid from Kentucky who's like an obese high school student.
He's like an Eric Cartman looking like white kid. Yeah, I mean, like he's got like curly blonde hair. But he's like a big fat like white kid.
He's cherubic white trash.
Who rocks True Vision jeans.
So, you know, he plays fast and loose with the N-word.
Soft A.
And then, you know, I went kind of deep into Pop and I found out that he has a black stepdad and half black siblings, so maybe that influenced him thinking it's okay to say that word.
Nathan Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. So I evangelized Popcorn because I thought this is before I knew Will, and you found it and you showed
I think
it to
I showed
Nick,
yeah.
And then Nick showed it to me, and then I showed like a billion people. Anyway, like, and you know, his social
he's like,
media
his
presence,
Instagram style is so amazing, though, because he's like, I don't know, what was he, 15 then?
Something like that.
And it's just like, all his feed is just him just smoking blunts, like comment off that gas. They mad though.
It's amazing.
Like making
he's
out
like
with
Mountain
like
Dew,
hot women.
Yeah, that girl,
high school.
His girlfriend is hot. Yeah. Do you remember that text exchange that he posted, which was like his girlfriend being like, you know, like he's like he like texts her. He's like, I promise I will never cheat on you again. And she's like, as long as you promise 100. And he's like, yeah, I love you, baby. And she's like, I love you too. And he's like, 100. We're gonna stay together forever. Like, this is true love. And it's like, and I don't know. Like he was a boy that we followed. A group of people in New York were following on social media because we thought he was funny. And he was team follow back. He would follow you back. Because he was a real savage, and you know, if you follow a savage, he'll follow you back. And then he had a post one day that's like, well, he didn't post for like a couple weeks, and then he's like, yo, it just got out the clink or whatever, it just got out the
hooscow. he's a total rapper, rap king, but he also uses old timey slang from the 30s.
I just got out the clink. He's like, yeah, I'm about to go to jail for 10 years. And I was like,
I remember seeing this and thinking, is this for real? Like, is this all just been an elaborate prank?
Because I thought he was just like, he was acting like he was a criminal, but he was just a boy that was just trying to be like a rapper.
Yeah.
So then I DM'd him.
Yeah, well, that's generally how it starts.
Wait, I can find the DMs. But I DM'd him and I was like, popcorn, like.
I'm worried.
I was like, popcorn, where? Is it true you're going to jail? Let me find it.
Wait, while Adam's finding the DMs,
he's this very charismatic personality.
Yeah, he's got swag for days. Yeah. Like, he really does. And my favorite, like, he would just post a lot of videos too, and they would just be him, like, you know, rapping to like G Herbo or like Bobby Shmurder, and like just smoking blunts and just being like,
oh, he's a terrible rapper.
Off that gas, yeah. And then he raps himself, like his boys make beats, and he's like, this, like, yeah, he does his own rap shit, but my favorite popcorn video, it's lost forever now, unfortunately, are just him and his friends standing in a barn smoking weed, and it's raining outside, and they're just waiting for it to stop raining so they can smoke weed somewhere else, and just popcorn's putting the camera out and just says, gang shit, gang shit.
Yeah,
that, to me, was so beautiful.
And then there was like an adult that they were hanging out. It was all boys, and then one of them is an adult, and he like turns the camera to the adult, and he immediately puts his hand over his face, like, "Come on, popcorn, stop putting me in your stupid videos." Anyway, yeah, I found the DM. So I was like, "Hi, popcorn, are you really going to jail on Wednesday for 10 years?" And he's like, "Yeah, I have to do 2 years out of 10 to get parole, but I'll probably do 4. And I was like, damn, dude, sorry to hear that. What happened? And he's like, me and my dude did a home invasion with a handgun and went and went on a high-speed chase with the police because we was in a stolen car. Which is so much illegal stuff.
That's so bad.
Amount of illegal activity.
Like,
he's so bad. He's a bad boy.
He's like 17. He's like doing felonies at like a 28-year-old level.
Well, thank God he got arrested when he was still 17. Because if he had been,
had he gone to adult prison, popcorn would have gotten
him
alive.
I didn't believe it, but I kind of believe that he was doing all those things.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
He was 16. Yeah,
he was 16. So thank God. So basically, he spent two years? Yeah, it's not a joke. He did do 2 years, and I don't know what kind of facility, but he was locked up for 2 years, and he's just gotten out, and, like, you know, Adam was the first person to text me. He was like, yo, Pop's out.
Yeah, yeah.
He's on the snap.
You gotta follow. Yeah. You gotta follow a savage, dude.
Yeah, follow a savage. So, yeah, just, I don't know, like, he... just his impish, youthful joy and antics. Vigor and antics.
Felony
charges.
Well, then I said,
it cheers me up.
He's so bored now because like he can't smoke gas on Snap or on Instagram anymore. So hopefully,
which is 90% of what he was doing before.
Yeah, so hopefully a lot of great weed shots. That's the thing that I remember. He could really showcase the marijuana.
There was that, and then the one right after he got beat up when he did the mirror video and he was like, yeah, just got jumped today. Like, yeah, I'm gonna see you out there on these streets. Like, and he's like literally has a black eye. And oh, he never cut his fingernails. He had long, terrible, disgusting fingernails. Anyway, after he told me what he did, I said, man, I'm sorry, Popcorn. Are you doing okay? And then he did not answer a soft ass
question. Yeah, but you're like, ruin the moment with like this like intimate gay.
And then I was like, how are you feeling about this? And then I was like, a couple hours later, I was like, can you have Insta in jail? And then he said, no, you can't. And I was like, stay strong, Pop.
I just came up with an idea. The way that Israel, look, Zionism is a cancer on this world. No one in my family has ever been Zionist. We're not Zionists because I was told from a young age that Israelis are just the most unpleasant fucking people in the world.
I think that's why my parents are Zionists, because they hate it when they move here because they're just so disgustingly rude.
They're awful. They're awful.
They have no manners.
But anyway, look, so... You know, the population transfer that's occurred in the last few years, you know, that was sort of the real thing behind Jonathan Pollard, was getting all these people who weren't really Jews sent from Russia to, like, fight Arab birth rates in Israel.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they're always lowering standards because, you know, they can't.
Because of demographics.
Demographics, right. But it's like, there's no such thing as really half a Jew if you're going by that definition. So they should take kids like Popcorn and send them to Israel.
Put them in the IDF.
Yeah, you can smoke that gas, but you have to, like, you have to be a part of something, Popcorn.
You have to be a Golani.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
That takes care of our delinquents. It teaches them respect, a schedule, you know, being part of something bigger. You would get another version of Modest Yahoo.
Yeah, you know, and he would kill it at the online Hasbara.
Oh my god, he'd be so, yo, Goofy, you try to call this an apartheid state? How come my boy is Druze?
yo, Ali Abu Nima, you mad AF? Because I'm off that weed, pussy, getting this money while you mad as fuck, B.
Yeah, it's true. Hezbollah are complete haters. Jesus Christ, that would be so funny. The Russians in Israel are hilarious. I was on a bus once, and there was this kid that was like just had like fingerless gloves and this like disgusting greasy haircut, and he looks at me and goes, "Let me ask you a question." And I was like, "All right, what's up, dude?" And he's like, "Are you a metalist?" And I was like, "A metalist, like." Like, can I, like, work with metals? And he's like, no. Do you like Metallica, Megadeth?
I mean, the Russians that they brought over, they're kind of like the teacots of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they really are.
They become Avigdor Lieberman.
Lieberman is like... I mean, everyone there, like, everything is like a teacot meme. It's not really a teacot meme. It's like if Richard Spencer got to run a country. But Avigdor Lieberman is like the Sheriff David Lee Clark of that place.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great analog.
He was also a bouncer. And he got into politics because he beat the shit out of a child. And then his, like, neighbor who is in politics, like, got him out of the charge. And he's like, wow. You really can use this to help people. What a great country. What an amazing place.
My favorite one is the Nazi woman I yell at, Shaked.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Who's like, I still would.
Yo, dude,
I still would.
In the Israeli version of Chapo and Cumtown, after Netanyahu won in 2015, the Israeli version of me and the Israeli version of you, I was like, I don't know, man. There's some like good rising stars that could beat Likud, like
Shaked. Yell at Shaked.
I still would, though.
No question.
What a perfect place to wrap things up now that we've come full circle.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for
having
me. That
is an excellent bow.
Can I do a plug?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go for it.
The Come Boys are taking over at Caroline's Comedy Club.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen. February 21st. So if you're in New York, you should come see us at Caroline's. Right, Nick? Yeah.
I'll be there.
Yeah. Will is going to be there. And then we're going to have another show in Brooklyn a week after that. But Caroline's, we want to get a strong showing for that.
Yeah, Caroline's would be dope. But also, if you haven't checked out Funny Moms yet in Brooklyn, definitely come out to that. They're a lot of fun.
Should we start plugging the Dollop show?
That's in April. Might as well just say now. Matt is going to be the Dollop Live on the road.
Yeah, in Detroit.
Matt's going to be the guest in Detroit.
I think that's like the 27th or something.
What is that?
Dollop? Dave Anthony's podcast.
Dave Anthony's History Podcast. It's
and Felix and I are going to be the guests in New York at the Highline Ballroom, I think, in April. So
Dave Anthony's best friends with Marc Maron, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. I won't.
Yeah, thanks for that, Adam. But Chapo and Dollop live in Detroit and New York, and Caroline's February 21st.
Yeah, and then the fourth Monday of every month we do a show in Brooklyn. Me and Sav and Nick at a place called Come On Everybody, called Funny Moms. They've been pretty cool the last couple months.
Come On Everybody's name takes on a different meaning when Come Town shows up.
Right, yeah. We take it over, we change the sign, we put our own sign up, and we really fuck shit up. that's what we're all about. And if you guys, you know, whatever. Thanks for having me.
Adam, thanks for coming on the show.
Pleasure. It was
awesome to talk to you, man. All right. Until next time, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Cheers.